Sandra, and Noah.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Theater World Podcast.
All right, here we are. We're ready to start.
My name is Noah Bender.
And I'm Xander Nemchek.
And we are the co-founders and co-producers, co-leaders, co-heads of the online theater company community extravaganza that is Theater World, or Theater World Readings, or Theater World Presents. But now it's Theater World Podcast.
That's right. It's just, you know, it keeps evolving. It's kind of like a Pikachu. You got to level up, and now you're a Raichu. And I guess we're a Raichu now.
Oh, and we're on our way to being Charizard.
I can't wait.
Because that's how Pokemon works, doesn't it?
Is it? I don't know. But we're not talking about Pokemon anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
This is going to be a theater podcast. We're focusing on modes of theater. And we met in the theater. Let's talk about a bit about how we know each other. Xander, we've known each other for about 10 years now, it seems like.
Oh my gosh. You know what they say about 10 years? It's like once you're friends with somebody for 10 years, it's a lifetime.
Yes. Really? Is that what they say?
Yeah. If your friendship lasts 10 years, then you're friends for life.
And the tortured Andrew Lloyd Webber fan in me can't help but notice that our friendship is 10 years old.
Thank you. That love never dies. Beautiful.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So we met at the Hill Barn Theater in Foster City, California, at the Summer Youth Conservatory.
Yes.
You were like my camp counselor.
I was. I was. I wasn't a director at this point, but I was a co-something. Nancy just hired me, and I was like running around doing a lot of other things. So I think I was just there for production, maybe a production assistant.
Yeah, you had a lot of jobs, but not one clear title.
No, and it was fine. I was vibing with it.
Yeah, and we became friends. And now, I mean, I feel like our friendship really rekindled in the past year because of these Zoom shows.
Oh, for sure.
So in April or March of 2020, right after the pandemic hit, can you talk about your first like idea to start doing Zoom musicals? Because it really came from you.
Yeah, you know, I was just sitting at home and I was like, I want to do shows. I want to do theater. I saw that one of the people in Phantom of the Opera was doing things online. So I was like, oh, I could take maybe voice lessons or a class. And then while I was taking classes and voice lessons, the end of March, I think I was like, oh, you know what would be really cool? I directed Oklahoma, and these kids were little and now they're older. It would be cool to have a reunion. And I wanted to do an Oklahoma reunion and have a reading. And so out of that, I started doing that. And then people were like, hey, I would love to do this. I would love to do that. And it just kind of kept going. And then we created an Instagram page.
This was in the like early stage of the pandemic, right when these kind of Zoom, mass communication, teleconferencing things were very kind of new. And none of us had ever done anything like this in terms of theater. That first Oklahoma reading, it was the two of us and a bunch of teenagers, right?
There was Hannah. She was there as well. And she's also a Theater World fan.
Right.
A Theater World person.
Founding father.
Founding person. There we go. And then I believe Sarah Gloss was there as well. I think we didn't have an 80 Annie. So it was Sarah Gloss and Nicholas J. Garland. He was Curly.
It was comprised of all the people who had done, it was a high school production, like a high school, after school.
And then there were some middle schoolers,
Oh, and definitely some middle schoolers.
At that time when I was directing, but it was like high school, middle school. And now they're high school, college age.
But the idea was just to give everyone the script, find the instrumental tracks, and put on a show. Mm-hmm. And very, very low maintenance. The whole fun of these Zoom shows, what came to be, is just doing just the fun parts of a performance, doing just the ending, just the performance with no rehearsal, no work, really. Just taking a show that we're all kind of familiar with, handing out parts. And just to me, these Zoom shows felt like a workout, felt like an acting workout.
Totally. And it, connecting with one another, you know, like that was another thing, is connecting, reconnecting with people that you haven't seen in years.
Exactly. There were so many of us who either used to perform together or had never performed together or had always wanted to, maybe went to different schools, were different ages. And it was in a time when none of us could be around people. And so we were starved for that human connection, but we also just wanted to kind of work out our acting muscles. We're all kind of performers or former performers or on varying levels of amateur, professional, et cetera, et cetera. And it gave us a chance to just work out.
Yeah, and I remember when I asked you, you weren't originally a part of the production, but I was like, I'm short a few people, and I would really love, like, I think at this point I was like ghost narration or something. So at this first stage, we had like scene descriptions.
Oh, yes.
And then you read the Dream Ballet.
Yes, it took us a couple times to realize that reading scene directions in a Zoom production is not necessary. So it was me in my... doing Oklahoma in my greatest narrator voice, just being like, Curly crosses down to stage left and picks up a hammer. He shows it. He then crosses over to Lori and spins her around, like very unnecessary stuff that wasn't even seen on stage on screen.
Yeah, your green screen wasn't really working either. And it was like, you're half fading in, half fading out. And I was like, this is great. I love it. Ghost voice.
Yeah, this is when it was all very novelty to have the Zoom backgrounds. So we put up the farmhouse and the town square and everything. But then let's keep it going. Our Zoom musicals got much more sophisticated, and we got more our repertory company, if you want to call it like that, got larger and larger. And we got to a point where we were in such a rhythm, like. During the summer of 2020, it was great because nobody had anything to do. Nobody had any commitments, nowhere to go. And so there was a point where we were doing three musicals a week.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, but it was also very fun because like there was just so many different random people. And then, you know, slowly we put it out to the public, you know. First it was our friends and people we knew, and we invited them, especially like, you know, I feel like the first one was like Sound of Music, and then we did Grease, and we decided maybe you can have live music, and we tried that, and it was good, but
a lot of like reunion casts where it was like taking people from a show that we all did a few, like 5 or 6 years ago, and saying, hey, do you want to do it again on Zoom just to have fun?
Yeah.
We worked out the kinks. We had someone playing live piano one time, and that didn't really work.
Yeah, it was too loud.
But we've done, how many have we done in the last year and a half? We must have done 32 or 33 musicals, at least 30.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about. But it's also really exciting because, you know, we met so many other people through this, and we have people that we invited to talk with us about it too.
Yeah, later on we'll be hearing from one of our most loyal performers, Mr. David Jones, coming up later on in the show. But let's talk about how these shows actually work. So the motto of Theater World is sing through the lag.
Oh yeah.
Because obviously on Zoom, you know, there's a 1 second to 2 second, you know, period that it takes for the sound to travel from one computer to another. And so as you could imagine, group numbers are a lot. They're absurd. They're hectic.
And oh yeah, when I'm singing duets, I'm always a count ahead so I can maybe try and get onto the count.
Right. Yeah, you got to try and preempt the music.
Yeah.
Because like what's been some of the hardest stuff we've done? Like we've done shows on here that a lot of the point of this also was to find and do shows that we couldn't do in real life. Like stuff that we really wouldn't be able to feasibly do at our level of, you know, professionality and our level of preparation. Like, we did Wicked on Zoom. We did.
And I think Great Comet was pretty difficult. You weren't there for that one, but.
Tell me about that one. I wasn't there for that one because that one, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't like Great Comet. It's not one of my favorite shows.
And it's my favorite show. And I know, I don't like it's Cats your favorite so very show. Much. So it's your favorite
and Cats
show.
Cats is my
so
favorite show.
Okay. It's okay.
But tell me about how Great Comet went, because that seems to be one that is so dense and so arrhythmic and so ebbing and flowing through the music, where it's hard. Like, on my one listen to that show, it didn't feel like there was a lot of like a one, a two, a three, a four. It
no, felt there
like
aren't everyone, any of that.
Yeah.
There are some waltz music type, or and there's some different, like, you know, thematic songs, you know, Russian themes music and stuff like that. But, you know, it seemed like it really worked out, obviously, for the solo numbers. But then when it got to like the giants, everyone sing at the same time, it was like overlapping. And so it was okay. It was fine. But another musical actually came to mind was Chess, when we did Chess. Remember we sang like the end game?
My other total favorite musical. Yeah. I don't like Chess
either. Well, you did it for us. You did it for
I did it for you because you gave me the part that had the one song that I liked, which is, it is my duty as the referee at the start of the match. This. Yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely be this guy.
Yeah. No. Respectfully, no. I don't think I'm going to listen to Chess again. I tried to watch it. And couldn't understand what was happening, and my ears hurt. But we did it on Zoom, and it's amazing, like, because these events, I feel like, are just for the performers. They're not meant to be spectator events, so I never cared about any of them being presentable. Do you agree?
Yeah. No, I mean, it was just, you know, something fun to do. And I recorded everything and kept it in a special, you know, archive, I guess, you know, because maybe somebody back in the, you know, later 40, 30 years from now will be like, what do they do in the pandemic? And maybe this will just pop up.
Right. Because I think there are some clips that are really good and watchable.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't expect anyone to watch the whole hour 40 minute of Fiddler on the Roof or when we did all of Les Mis on Zoom.
I thought it was really good, actually. I thought Les Mis was great.
Les Mis actually turned out really well. Like,
yeah,
it seems to be the trend that we have is that when we're producing the show, when we're planning it out, we think, oh my gosh, this is going to be too hard. This is going to be too difficult. It's not going to sound like anything. People are not going to know what to do. And then it turns out to be great fun and not that bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, I built an entire barricade in my bedroom to have this giant scene of just like dying on a barricade.
Yeah, it's such interesting to explore the different like performance muscles that come with just doing a musical from your chair.
Yeah, yeah.
And the extra work you have to do to connect with people on screen when you're having a duet. Or a love scene, or you know, an intimate moment that you kind of have to do not like forcing, but extra conjuring, I'd say.
Yeah, I remember when we did, I think it was She Loves Me, and I played Mr. What's His Face. Do you remember what his name is? The shop owner. Mr. Marichek? Yes, Mr. Marichek, and I bought a mustache. I remember it's just like the script was so small that I had to like put the entire script on my screen. So all my scenes, I'm just like looking at my script. I'm not looking at anyone else. It's just me and my script.
Yeah, the great part about these Zoom musicals is that you can kind of just follow your own track and not worry about anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, because you don't have to worry about blocking your choreography. You only need to look at your own lines and just just read your own music. Because it takes all the pressure off just to have the script right in front of you.
I think that's the success of it too, is because we gave them the music, the karaoke tracks, they have the script, and on the day of, where it's not like we have to be memorized, we have to be perfect. It's just like, we can look at the scripts and it's chill, and you know, you don't have to be in costume, or you can be in costume. There's not a lot of expectations, or you set your own expectations, I guess.
Yeah, it's always just as far as you're willing to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think probably the most heartwarming and nice part about running Theater World is the fact that we've met people who we just didn't know at all before. Mm-hmm. Like, it definitely started as like, you know, people we did theater with in the past or friends of friends or friends of friends of friends of friends. But then we started getting messages from people who just found us online, who people from across the country. Like, we live in California, and we started getting requests from people in Florida, in New York, in... Did we have someone international one time? Didn't we have someone in France or something?
I feel probably like I remember that. At some point, maybe like that, a cabaret or something like that. Yeah,
it could. Yeah, because we've also done these kind of like open mic cabaret things, which is just it's just another chance to give people a chance to work out their muscles and sing in front of people, because there's only so much you can do by just, you know, singing alone in your room or in your car. It's so much more meaningful to just sing with other people watching. And that was a feeling that we have missed. I mean, like, honestly, I grew up doing a ton of theater. I did a lot of theater in childhood and high school. And then during college, I just kind of stopped doing theater. You know, I wasn't like a theater major or anything. I did just one musical in college and had no singing. And I have kind of not left my dreams of being on the stage behind, but just not focused on it as much. And these shows have given at least me a chance to reinvigorate that side of me, and given in like an easy chance to play large parts again, which is something that I would have to work up to doing if I were to do community theater and regional theater, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, not just because, you know, I'm the one casting myself in these parts, but it's the one of the other big mission statements of Theater World is to give people who are not, you know, not professionals. I call us enthusiastic amateurs, and like people who usually don't get the chance to do those really big parts, give them the chance to play those big parts that they always know and love. Like my sister, it's been her like dream to play.
Oh, that's right.
To play the Little Mermaid, Princess Ariel. And we gave her the chance to do it, and she knocked it out of the park. And she like expressed to me that it was like, it felt like a lifelong dream come true. And even though she got, you know, beat out by, you know, the girl who always gets all the lead roles in eighth grade for Ariel and the Little Mermaid, she said that like this experience kind of vindicated that whole experience and was a full circle kind of satisfaction closing the gap moment.
So Theater World, we're therapeutic too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
but we also chose shows for ourselves too. We were like, hey, I want to do this show.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I want to do. But, you know, you got to be a little greedy. And then sometimes you'd step back. Like right now, I was supposed to step back for Rent and be ensemble. I just wanted to be solo singer, you know, the soloist that sings Seasons of Love.
We're doing Rent tonight.
Yeah, we are. It's funny because I'm like, okay, I'm going to just, you know, play the music and just sing my song and that'll be it. But no, I have to play Mimi now. Unless there's something happens. Like, I've been messaging a million people.
And that's what happens each time, is that we plan all these things a month in advance, and then people drop, people get sick. People, I mean, we're at the point
now. But this is recently. It's not like, this would never happen during the pandemic. When everyone was locked down, everyone was like, no, I want to be in your show. Where can I go? And what can I do? And now when people are back to life and going to performances and actually doing things, this is what we get. So this is kind of why we're doing a podcast instead.
We had a great run. I mean, Theater World is by no means over, but I think we definitely have peaked about a year ago when we were doing two musicals a month, sometimes more than one per week.
What show do you think was like the last big, everyone loved to do it? Like, was it Les Mis? What was it?
I thought maybe Chicago,
maybe.
Or when we did Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, yeah.
But we've done a lot. I mean, I've done Oklahoma 3 times on Zoom in the past year or so. I don't need to do Oklahoma ever again.
I've done it twice. But you did it with your family, right?
I did it with my family, too.
What did you play?
I was Will Parker.
Ah, perfect.
And got to relive my childhood performance of singing, "Everything's Up Tonight in Kansas City."
What were you the other time, then, when we did it the second time? Were you also Will? Oh, no, you were Ali Hakim,
I was Ali Hakim.
Or Ali Hakim.
Yes. What's his song?
One Goodbye. Oh, no.
You can't get a woman if she won't say yes because
it's a scandal.
Oh yeah, right.
It's an outrage.
A woman is a rooster and she's laying eggs in the nest.
That's it. That's exactly the lyrics. I knew it. Yeah. Rodgers and Hammerstein would be like,
yes, exactly.
They are right now, actually.
What do you think was what was your favorite role that you've done?
I think I really liked playing the plants. Like, that was something that I wasn't really
Little Shop of Horrors.
I really wanted to have like a POC play it because that's just, you know, an original like role, but somehow I fell into that. I feel like I'm falling into roles just to fill a spot now. I mean,
you're the ultimate theater world swing.
Yeah, thank you. That's me. I also liked playing Golda. I mean, I played her in high school when I was a kid.
In Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, and you know,
you're a born Golda.
Yeah, I think so. It was like when Brad Freeman saw me walking down the street, he's like, "I better do Fiddler on the Roof one day, so I could put her as Golda." But yeah, I mean,
and that's when I was Tevye.
Yeah, that was right, and we had a good like banter going on. It was great.
Yeah, when we sang, "Do you love me? I'm your wife."
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. But yeah, I really liked playing the plant. I like playing Golda. I love the music in Chess. It's just not a great show. You know, it's not a great show.
Yeah, it just doesn't it's hard to listen to. The Chess is the kind of show that you have to hear 5 times to really understand what they're actually saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of great power ballads in that, and I guess I've known for power ballads, you know, when I was a kid, Matt Matei, when I had him as a voice teacher, he'd be like, "Okay, here's a song." And I'm like, "Oh, it's a ballad again." You know, I never got, you know, an up tempo from him.
Here's another, what's you're the torch song goddess, as we like
yes,
to say.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll just lay on a piano and sing.
Yes, pearls dripping off your body. Yes. With a long cigarette,
yeah, one of those flowy robe things.
Yes, you know. with feathers flying off into the air, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and your hair in one of those. I'm just imagining. I mean, we're just painting a picture of Liza Minnelli. That's what we're doing.
I mean, less Liza, more, I don't know, Patti LuPone and. I guess I'm all the characters put together. Patti LuPone, Carol Channing, because I'm a little wacky too. I mean, also Liza's Ethel a little Merman. Wacky. Ethel Merman, yeah, I'm a little
You're brassy.
Yeah, sometimes Sutton, but never the dancing. I don't know what else.
You're Xandra with an X.
Thank you. I am Xandra with an X.
That's your one woman show.
It should be. I really should put something together. Maybe one day.
We'll be right back with a conversation with one of our favorite performers, David Jones. And we're back with our good friend, David Jones. Hello, David.
Yeah, welcome.
Hello. Hi, thanks for having me.
So you are one of our most loyal and fervent theater world members. What was your first experience with us? Was it Les Mis last December?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Les Mis. Yep.
Yeah. I think, did I ask you to join or did you just sign up? I don't remember.
I think I saw you post about it a lot, Xander. And then, I think I just signed up. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember doing
because you had asked me about one of the film read-throughs first, mm-hmm. I think. Maybe.
Maybe.
And then saw the, yeah, I can't remember if Clue came first or Les Mis, but yeah.
How do you two know each other, Xander and David? Because I only met you through Zoom shows, but I think, but you guys had a history before this.
Yeah, it was a brief history, but it was a history.
Yeah. Yeah. In what, April, yeah, maybe of 2020, we met through, I think she's your, yes, voice teacher too, through Raquel from Broadway, Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. And she started this like workshop called Empower Voices Now. Although I don't think
no,
at the time
it was just like,
that.
Who wants to do a workshop? It's going to be fun. And here's Dana. And we're just like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly.
She's in Phantom. Why not? That's what my sister's like, do it. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it.
Oh, she's currently in Phantom?
Yeah, she's currently, yeah, Carlotta.
Oh, I thought
Broadway.
She was like formerly.
Oh, no. She's rolling through the river, I guess.
She's doing cadenzas day to day, every day.
Yeah. I think she's on vacation right now, though. Yeah. So she's not condensing. Well, maybe she is. Keep that fresh.
Yeah, I think she just got back to the city like yesterday or today. Yeah. So, yeah.
When you're in Phantom, you can't go a minute without a good old fashioned cadenza.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you want to do yours? Amazing. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you. They don't call me Cadenza Guy Bender for nothing. Oh no, they call me Big Cadenza. Big Cadenza. That's my new nickname.
Ooh, can you please change your screen name to that?
Big Cadenza, yeah.
So many questions.
So yeah, what other shows have you done with us, David? There's been too many to count.
Yeah, so we did Les Mis and Chess.
Chess.
And
the glorious experience that was Chess.
Chess was insane because like I thought I knew it better than I did, and I didn't know it at all, especially because every version of Chess is
different.
Completely different. And I also didn't realize like I was multicast, and I didn't realize I was also cast as the father until like 10 minutes before.
Yep.
And I crammed trying to learn Hungarian.
That's what happens.
Sing that song.
We plan it out, and then we realize, oh my gosh, we're missing two people, and so we just throw extra roles at people the day of the show.
Yeah.
And you played my father. It was beautiful. And then, we had a moment on Zoom.
Yeah. we had a lullaby.
You've done all the most serious operatic-y ones, weren't you, in Jesus Christ Superstar with us?
I think so. Yes. Yeah, I definitely was. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, as
that's
Simon
right,
Zellick,
you were Simon.
Yes.
Yeah. And which was great. And Oklahoma as
right,
Jeff Fry, which I really appreciate getting that opportunity.
I think that
have
was
you done
like
that, have you done that role in real life? That seems
I haven't, but I would love to.
Let's call somebody.
Yeah, it seems totally
in
your wheelhouse.
Yeah. I really like the like kind of broken characters. Like,
yes.
I think that's fun.
I think you also played the foreman, so that's also a broken character
the
there.
Most complicated figures.
Yeah. For sure.
Can you talk about, like, what has been your experience like doing these shows? Because we know what it's been like kind of putting them together, but as a cast member, can you kind of expound on what you've gained or just what the experience has been like?
Sure. It's been a lot of fun. I didn't know what to expect at all going into Les Mis the first time. I mean, like I knew Les Mis really well, but it's rough with
that's right.
the delays and, you know, not practicing at all and just kind of going for it. And sometimes the backing tracks are like different than you'd expect. But it's a lot of fun and you just roll with it and it all comes together. And sometimes it can get really funny with like how delayed some people get. And, you know, maybe I'm getting super delayed and I have no idea. So it's just a lot of fun. But I think the best thing that come out of it is to meet all these new people. Not that I've met a ton of you in real life, but I have met Hannah and Mary now in real life because of this. So I don't know. It's just great to have like internet friends now from this that are similarly interested in theater.
Yeah. What started as just like trying to get a few friends together to put on a show and pass the time became like a repertory company, pretty much, of people who we can kind of rotate in and out, and people who we can always call on to put on a show with us.
Yeah, I know, like, if you're available and I'm like, I need somebody to play this role, you'll be like, okay, I'll do it. Thank you. And you'll take it and you'll like learn the roles. That was like the great thing about you. You were like, oh, I have to learn Hungarian. Okay. And then you just learned it.
Yeah, I was so disappointed when I got your message about Collins for Rent. Like, I would love to do that. But I won't get back to back from the theater until like 11:30 tonight, probably.
So speaking of which, you've been on the front lines of bringing back live performance since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what that's been like and the shows you've worked on in person recently?
Yeah, so one was kind of in between in person and real life, and then I've been doing a real life one now, but in the spring, I was involved in a production of Les Mis here in DC, and we like rehearsed most of it on Zoom, and then we came together about 2 or 3 weeks before we went to film the production into the studio and recorded all the vocal tracks for it, and then we did a live outdoor production of it that was then filmed with the backing track, because with regulations about COVID around here, like, we weren't able to sing live, plus also being outside, it would be difficult to get the sound pickup properly. So it was a completely filmed production with then the backing track and soundtrack that we had created with our live people as well as our live orchestra and stuff like that. So that was a really cool project.
And you were like the big man, Jean Valjean, right?
He was Jean Valjean. He's being modest about this. Jean Valjean. He's like, oh yeah, I did a little show.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work and a very different way of doing theater than I've ever done, but it was a lot of fun.
Because so much of the purpose of theater world was just to get people to continue going through the motions of doing a show.
Right.
And not really caring about the audience, not really caring whether people see it or if it's, you know, professional quality or super presentable, just that it's our experience of doing it together. Has doing it in person felt like that as well?
Yeah, especially. I mean, I think we were all hoping for an audience, but now it's even more important that it's for us, and like just creating art for the sake of creating art, whether or not it's shared with anyone. I think there's a lot of benefit in like flexing that creativity muscle, which is what theater world has been able to do, especially because like with theater world, it's not really meant for anyone. It's just kind of for us to come together as a community.
I think of them more as a party than a performance.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
people
so much
are,
fun.
Are drinking their own drinks and they're having their
own
things.
Been drunk for almost all of them.
Oh, well, I could never tell.
Nice. Yes, I'm too good of a performer.
Yes, you're such a professional, Noah.
Yes.
But Carol is certainly plastered, I'm sure.
Carol is always plastered. Carol is a
Let's introduce
puppet.
Carol.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. I wouldn't even call it a possession. It's more of an extension of your personality. It's like it's like when Sweeney Todd goes, "My right arm is complete again."
I open a little box.
Yes, you've got a ventriloquist dummy of Broadway legend Carol Channing.
Yeah, I 1 year it was I think it was actually during one of the camps. I think it was during Anything Goes at Hilbarn Theater, the summer camp. I was on eBay and I was just searching up Carol Channing things and I saw this puppet and I was like, oh, I need it. It was like 140 something. And I was like,
oh, really? I thought it was like in your family.
Oh no. Oh no. I needed it. I saw it. I wanted it. I got it. I'm Ariana Grande in it. but yeah, I needed it. I was like, this will be fun to bring to camp. I could like walk around with her. I know how to kind of do a Carol Channing voice. I'm just going to pull her out and bring her around. And I just threw her around and everyone that some people initially were like, this is creepy. And some people were like, oh my God, Carol. And I guess in the beginning, people sometimes see it's creepy. And then they realize, no, Carol is the most beautiful thing in the world. And she just comes from within my Gemini soil.
She stormed that barricade like a champ.
Thank you. Yeah. Sometimes when we are low of characters, she's not playing Collins tonight, is she?
She's playing Benny.
She's playing Benny. Thank you. Sometimes when we're low of characters, we will, outsource to Carol Channing.
She's the ultimate understudy.
Yeah. What was she in Little Shop of Horrors? I think she was one of the urchins.
One of the customers.
Oh, there we go. One of the customers. So, you know, we're starting to run out of people like that are not interested in doing Zoom theater. So we're like, okay, I guess Carol will just play this role, and Benny doesn't have to be very serious in Rent, so it's fine.
Okay, well, as we round out our first episode, let's do some. We're testing out a lightning round segment.
Oh yes,
we're testing out some quick hitters, and so we want to throw these at you. And the first thing that comes to your mind is the right answer.
okay. No pressure.
So, David, what is your dream role?
Ooh, for musical theater, Joe Gillis.
What show is that in? I'm not familiar.
Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, is that Sunset Boulevard? Jackpot Boulevard.
Sure. Yeah.
Although I'm probably more of a Max.
I can see you doing. I can see you doing.
I'm losing my hair and I'm fat.
It's okay. So. We can work with it. We can do it on Zoom and you can play Joe.
There we go.
And Zandra, you're the perfect Norma Desmond.
Thank you, but I also think Carol could play Norma as well. We're not sure. We might have to fight for that one.
It's almost as if we never said goodbye.
I mean, who doesn't want to hear Carol Channing singing these songs?
Seriously.
I mean, she is the greatest star.
She is.
She is.
R.I.P.
Okay. And David, can you remember the greatest experience you ever had at the theater?
Yes. Well, I've had a ton. I've been fortunate to have a ton. But I think the one that sticks with me the most is when I was probably, I was in fourth grade and I went up to Toronto to see Phantom for probably the 10th time. And I always wore a tux when I went to the theater and I went so frequently, like the ushers knew me. So I went to, there was a new, new to me, Phantom. And I'm going to butcher his name, but, Sharon Sheehan, something like that. It's some Irish name that I can't pronounce. But anyway, I was talking with the ushers after the show and like I normally got to meet the Phantom. But this time they said, well, he has to run to the airport to get home to Ireland for his sister's wedding. But somehow the ushers contacted him and he came back like in his town car to the theater, said hello to me, and then went off to Ireland.
That's amazing.
So that was pretty cool. And that same trip, I also got to go backstage and like play on the Phantom's organ.
Wow.
And
oh, wow. So you've been hobnobbing really with Phantom people for a long time.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, you're a noted Phantom super fan. Do you think you've seen it more than 20 times?
Yeah, close to 30 probably or over that. Yeah, actually that was really cool at the reopening. Mm-hmm. When I came back into the theater, I saw previous Christine's Kaylee Ann Voorhees and Aaron LaCroix And Kaylee Ann was like, David!
That's so funny.
And got to give them both a big hug. And yeah. So that was really cool.
You're like, move over, Lin-Manuel.
Yeah, well, I did see him,
you're
too.
Like, who cares? Can you please move over for Christine?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I noticed something that I didn't believe at first on your social media when you went to New York this year. You saw Phantom 4 times in 1 weekend.
Only 3.
Yeah.
I would have seen it 4, but they only had 3 that weekend. But yes.
That's right. He is a fan, Tom.
We got to do a whole episode on Andrew Lloyd Webber super fans.
Oh, for sure.
I am one as well.
Have you seen that I can't remember the name of the documentary, but one section of it is two sections are Andrew Lloyd Webber, I think, because one is this lady in Germany that keeps going to see Starlight Express, and then another one is the woman obsessed with cats.
Yes, there's someone who's seen, there was definitely someone who saw like Cats 750 times, or like 1,000 times.
Repeat attenders.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yes. I know. Yeah. And then, because Starlight Express is an entirely different thing, because for some reason, Starlight Express is a huge hit in Germany, where it's got like a permanent run forever in German in this theater that's designed specifically to support Starlight Express only.
Yeah.
Is it like a roller rink?
I guess that's a pretty common. Yeah, it is. Crazy. And it like comes out into the theater. Yeah. It's not.
Parade is great.
But I guess that's a common thing in Germany, that theaters get built specifically for shows, because there was one built specifically for Sunset too. Oh. That then like kind of,
we're doing it wrong in America.
Once it was closed,
we need to build theaters around the show. I guess that's like kind of Great Comet, but that's a little different. They kind of remove seats and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of how the Pantages in Toronto got rebuilt kind of by Garth Drabinsky, who's a total dick, but he like redid the Pantages theater specifically for Phantom for their decade long run up there, which was really cool that it was like a purpose built stage just for that show.
Well, you have to for Phantom.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Who's your favorite diva?
Ooh, probably Patti LuPone.
You can't.
Good answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Christine Baranski, but Baranski's not much of a diva. I just adore her.
Have you ever met Patti LuPone?
So. I have not. No.
My
that would be great.
Oh yeah. It's amazing.
Although I've learned from Broadway Bob, don't share on social media what she drank or anything, right?
Yeah, no, don't look like you're going to write stuff about her and like sit next to her and look like you're a little spy. I mean, that is a little shady and to see somebody like looking at you and sending you drinks and you're like, okay, all right. I understand the lore of that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you, David, so much for coming
on.
Thank you so
much.
We got to have you back to have a full episode on Phantom. Because I think we could talk for hours about that.
Yeah, we were thinking about having Raquel come on too. So maybe we could do a double duty kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great. Yeah.
Hopefully she'll say yes.
Is there anything you'd like to plug or point people to before we sign off?
I don't think so. No, I don't really have anything to plug right now. I just hope that theater is able to stay open and go
see live theater.
And go see Phantom of the Opera. That show, it's really struggling right now, and it really needs people to come see it. That show's going to run for.
It does.
That show's going to run forever and ever and ever.
It should.
I'm going again in January. Good. So yeah.
Fill those seats.
Wow.
I'm doing my part.
I said, do you have a stamp card for Phantom?
I don't, but I should.
You should. You'll get like a Phantom passport.
Yeah.
When you get 10, you get the one free.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. This has been our first episode. We're so excited to bring you more talking theater, talking world.
Talking Carol Channing.
Yeah, and I can't wait to do another Theater World show.
Yes.
Too, yes.
So. We can wait
excited
to
have you back.
Cool.
And
it was great chatting with you both.
Yes. And as we sign off, I'm Noah.
And I'm Zandra.
And we'll see you next week, or not next week, or whenever the next episode comes out.
Every other week.
Bye.
Bye.